This week is Teacher Appreciation Week, and I thought it was a great opportunity for us not only to publicly thank, obviously, all the teachers who literally pour their blood, sweat, tears, everything into their students year after year, but I also thought it was a great opportunity news-wise to really focus on what teachers have been going through in our education system. And one of the things that we've been focused on for the last few years especially, teacher shortages in Connecticut. And so I wanted to get an update on that from Fran Rabinowitz, who's one of our education experts on the morning show. She is the executive director of the Connecticut Association of Public School Superintendents. And at the beginning of the school year, we learned there were thousands of job openings across the state, certainly in particular areas. We also have thousands of paraprofessional roles that need to be filled. Not to mention, we also have early education roles we need to fill in the state. And as we wind down the 2023-24 school year in the next month or so, wanted to get an update, see where we're at. So Fran is back with us to talk about that. Hey, Fran, and happy Teacher Appreciation Week to you. How are you?
Thank you, Melissa. And it's a really important week. I'm hoping that the appreciation that is shown for teachers this week just extends all year. Every superintendent knows that we're only as good as our team is, and that is definitely the teacher strength in every single district.
Absolutely. I mean, and let's look at, Fran, in this last not even full school year, because it's not done just yet, but have we seen, and of course, I don't expect you to give me concrete numbers. I believe, if I can remember correctly, there were some 10,000 positions, give or take, open across the state of Connecticut, which includes paraprofessionals, includes early childhood education. Again, you can correct me on that. Have we improved in any of those areas within this year, this academic school year?
I do think we have improved in the teacher ranks. Now, when I say that, what I'm saying is if you look at the most of the suburban districts, they are staffed in many areas in the teacher ranks. We still have openings, but that doesn't include the challenge districts. That doesn't include the cities and the rural communities. We still, though, across the board, are suffering from shortages in special education, school psychologists. You know, the other day I read a statistic in Connecticut where there's one school psychologist for every 450 students. That's a shortage area. And we still suffer there. We suffer certainly in the area of teachers that are specially trained in multilingual, in working with multilingual students. And the sciences and math continue to be an issue. What I hear from suburban districts is that their pool is very shallow when they go to choose new teachers. What I hear from challenge districts, you know, your Bridgeports, Stamfords, New Havens, I hear that they just can't find the teachers.
Which I think is really concerning. And I actually, something that came up in the news recently was looking at whether or not, I think this was a bill that was being looked at, and I'm not sure actually where that went, just because I know the session literally just wrapped up. And we're still, even from the news standpoint, we're still trying to kind of get through all the legislation that either died because it never came up for a vote in the House or Senate, or the legislation that did pass through but still needs a signature from the governor. We're still working through it. But I do know something that we had talked about in the news earlier this week was they were looking at simplifying the process for teachers to be able to come out of retirement and go back to teaching, to get people recruited who again, have the experience under their belt. I wasn't sure if this is something that you have talked about on this show before, Fran, is that there are things that we could be doing right now to ease this issue of recruiting and retain, but we just haven't done it. So I wasn't sure if you could comment on that.
Well, I would comment on the fact that I think there are many things that we can do. It's looking at the profession a bit differently. For instance, I when I was superintendent in Bridgeport, for example, we had some job sharing and it worked incredibly well. You know, I had a fourth grade where there were two teachers that came to me. They both had children at home and they wanted part-time work and they shared a fourth grade classroom. I know that sounds crazy to some people, but I tell you, it really worked. And I do think we could do that, things like that more often to ease the teachers that are, you know, having children and want something part-time, can work with another person to run a classroom. I think that retired teachers, you know, people are retiring from teaching. If even if they go the full amount at 37 and a half years, many of them are like in their late 50s. Mm-hmm. They're well able to continue to teach. And I think we really need to look more closely at that. I will also tell you that I sat on the Certification Council, and those laws have been moving ahead, and I'm sure they will pass. And that is looking at an extended grade band of certification, pre-K 6, for example. I remember being a superintendent, having a fifth grade teacher that wanted to teach kindergarten, and I couldn't allow it because teachers were certified 1 through 6 or pre-K to 3. And it's that will help us, I think, as well.
We have Fran Rabinowitz here, who is the executive director of the Connecticut Association of Public School Superintendents. And it is Teacher Appreciation Week. We were just talking about the state's focus on recruiting and retaining more teachers. We know we continue to have a teacher shortage. And there has been some movement within this last academic year, but we are far from out of the woods with that issue. I wanted to get your take on this, Fran. I thought this was a huge decision that was made by lawmakers earlier this week. It didn't get full, strong bipartisan support, but it does sound like it's going to move forward. We have $360 million apparently left in COVID relief funds. That's for the entire state of Connecticut. And apparently, lawmakers decided we're going to put all of that money into education in the next school year. Now, on the surface, that sounds great, right? I mean, we have been hearing that UConn is going to have to up tuition. They're going to have to cut really important professors, their staff. We've heard from CSCU. We just had the chancellor. Chancellor Terrence Chang was on the show talking about their push to have over $46, $47 million allotted to them for our community colleges, our state colleges. You know, not to mention, we know that public school districts, their school budgets have had to be cut significantly. And we all know that the COVID money was going to run out. In fact, it was sort of a warning that we've talked about on this show specifically. At the end of this academic year, we were going to run out of those COVID funds. Let's figure out what we can do. I would love to get your take on this one, because it just sounds like we're delaying a problem and making it worse.
Well, from the moment that COVID funds came in, of course we want COVID funds, but sometimes the greatest bane of my existence was grants, because what would happen is you get these grants and you'd be able to hire people for intervention. And, you know, you would sail along being able to so better meet the needs of our children, especially in our most challenged districts, who normally get more money always, rightfully so. But then when that money gets pulled, it is incredibly painful for everyone involved, most especially the children that we serve. So I am thrilled that they will put that $360 million in. I know that a great deal of that, rightfully so, will go to early childhood, and there'll be a one-time stipend for our early childhood.
Yeah, it was like $1,200 or $1,400. Yep, I remember that too. Yeah. Yep, a stipend. Yep.
Right, but that's for one time. Mm-hmm. What happens beyond that? Because I think I said it on the show, they are woefully underpaid. So much so that they qualify for food stamps. How are we going to sustain that going forward? The good news is Connecticut seems to be in very good fiscal shape. So I'm hoping that some of that will be picked up as we move forward by the state. It pains me to know that in our most challenged districts, which are the districts that received most of the COVID funding, they put it into staff, rightfully so. What do you do if you get $150 million? You are going to put it into staff to ease the burden on teachers, but also to more effectively meet the student needs in mental health, in reading, interventions, whatever. Those monies are going to go away. And when they go away, there will be a real live reduction in services unless there are additional dollars coming from the states. And, you know, the municipalities in those challenged districts have issues too. So I'm not so sure how much we can expect to come from the municipalities. But I can tell you without a doubt from my own experience and from looking at these dollars, which we have never had before, that that incredible amount of money in a short time, there will be noticeable deficits in these districts.
I think that's bad. I think that's, yeah. I just, when you hear that we're going to drain it, I understand. But honestly, I mean, Fran, especially you've literally seen it, as you mentioned, from the ground level is what I like to say.
Yes.
Not from a political standpoint. We're talking about putting a Band-Aid on something that needs surgery. I mean, this is going to blow up, I think, in our faces at this time next year. It's not going to be good.
Absolutely. And if there's one thing I would like the legislature to look at in the coming, I mean, I think they've done a very good job in providing funding for education to the extent that they could. They overrode the governor's budget because it was $70 million short in education. And I appreciate that. But if there's one thing we need to look at in this state, it is the inequities that exist in funding our school districts. And, you know, I've been involved in it for years, but it's very difficult when I go to national conferences or whatever, and they use Connecticut as an example of inequity in funding for school districts.
Yeah. Yeah. It's I don't know. I guess we'll have to see. But it's, you know, and I know we have questions from teachers. I just want to reiterate, Fran is not a lawmaker. She is the executive director of the Connecticut Association of Public School Superintendents. We had questions about, you know, will the public be able to be held accountable? Like, are we going to be able to weigh in on where those dollars go? I don't know if Fran can answer that.
If it's the state money, I'm sure, without a doubt. And I appreciate those questions because I have those questions. But my guess is, and it's pretty much an educated guess from working with the legislature for a while, those monies will be earmarked by the time they come out, either higher ed or early childhood. I'm hoping that there will be some in there for K-12. I'm hoping for reading money, for training, for reading, et cetera, and for, you know, continued mental health services.
Yes.
But I don't know. But I have never seen money come out of the legislature that is not earmarked.
Yeah, that was sort of my educated guess as well, Fran. So I appreciate you saying that. But again, I said I'm not a lawmaker. I can't tell you for sure. But I do know there has been such a huge focus on higher ed. And as you mentioned, early childhood, the thing that gets missed, K through 12, in the sense of we've got some real broken areas there. I know something you've talked a lot about, like you said, our reading. And, you know, that's something that I know I'm very concerned about, the paraprofessionals. You know, we talk about mental health and all that. I am still so concerned about the fact that I don't think we as a state, I know our education system, I think, understands, but I don't know if our lawmakers really understand the weight of not having paraprofessionals in, you know, readily equipping all of our public schools. I just don't know if we understand that yet. We're not there, and that's concerning.
We're not there, and I worry about that, Melissa, believe me.
No, I know you do. I know.
Are such an integral part, and having been on the task force for special ed, let me tell you, they are absolutely necessary. And we still are not paying them. And, you know, more importantly than they've told me than pay is getting health benefits. Mm-hmm. We've done some work in there in that
not
area,
enough,
but
though.
There's
no, and that too plays into mental health. I mean, we're not just talking about special ed. I mean, it's a lot of the times paraprofessionals, the people who are in the classrooms for your kindergarten, first, second, third graders, they are identifying stuff that absolutely plays into mental health. And they sometimes are the people identifying these issues before they get out of hand. And we're trying to, you know, do more for mental health in our schools and our high schools and our middle school. And that's fine. That's great. But we could be identifying these issues at the elementary level. But a paraprofessional usually is one of the people that will do that. And we're just nixing them. We're just not even realizing the big picture of them. So now I'm
absolutely
on a tangent.
Now I'm
going off, Fran. But I appreciate
no, me
you.
Too.
I appreciate you always having these conversations on the show, Fran. I think you bring such great insight to the education sector in our state. And I really want to let you know how much I appreciate you, not just during Teacher Appreciation Week, but throughout the year. And I really do. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Melissa. I'm not sure I bring great insights, but I know that I am in touch with teachers and with administrators, and I really do understand what the what their issues are, and you know, we all need to try to work together to ensure that the respect for our profession grows each and every day.
Yeah, I agree with that. Fran, thank you so much. I know you'll be back on the show before you know it. I really appreciate you.
I appreciate you too, Melissa. You asked the right questions.
Aw, you're the best, Fran. I love Fran. Fran is, again, the executive director of the Connecticut Association of Public School Superintendents here in Connecticut, and she also is one of our education experts on the morning show.